his Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And again, we want to thank Patrick O'Connor, new state senator. He talked about a couple of different things, not only talking about being sworn in and immediately jumping in and filing 59 amendments. Knowing that I had my next guest sitting here in front of me, that it was a perfect opportunity to ask them in regards to ask Patrick about education. And he did say that the state right now, I mean, we're going through tough times where, you know, we're strapped as far as finances go, but he feels that education, it's important. And like Weymouth, the city of Brockton is seeing its issues in regards to funding, and funding not up to where it should be at. And it's kind of funny because last week I actually had the folks in here from the Whitman-Hanson Regional School District, and they had a big vote this weekend because they were trying to do a student success budget. And what they're trying to do is boost it up by $3 million to replace a lot of the teachers and programs and have libraries in elementary schools. Imagine having a librarian in an elementary school library. What a concept. But those two towns shot it down, and so they go forward with the budget that was approved at town meeting. So, as I said, we have Kathleen Smith. She's the school superintendent in Brockton, and we have Mr. Tom Minicello, who is the vice chair of the school committee. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. You are no strangers.
Good evening, Kevin. How are you?
Great to see you, Kevin.
So you had a chance to kind of hear the new senator, and you've probably also been having a lot of conversations since the last time I've had conversations with both of you on the news type of thing. What's going on lately in regards to the city of Brockton? Has there been a budget put together by the school committee that is moving on to the city council, or is that pending?
We basically have voted to put forward a budget. It's not a budget that any of us are happy with. The good news is that our mayor has made a recommendation to meet foundation, which is basically the formula the state sets where communities need to get to a certain threshold. And the law allows a community to withhold up to 5% of that recommended amount.
Right.
The mayor recognizes the tough spot that the schools naturally are in this year, and for the first time in my 9 years on the school committee, this is the first mayor to meet foundation. So we're very grateful, but at the same time, we're very basically hurt with respect to the first budget they came out from the governor, because that budget reworked a formula that we ordinarily follow with respect to students who receive funding, additional funding, who are considered low and reduced lunch type students. They changed the formula to basically utilize the criteria that you need to be signed up for state welfare benefits. So, you know, we have these students who fall into this low and reduced lunch criteria, but if their families are not signed up for welfare benefits, they're excluded from the formula. And, you know, Brockton has a high population where, quite frankly, we believe many families are undocumented or illegal, whatever. And sometimes they don't sign up for these benefits for fear of being outed. But we have the all the issues that go with these students, but yet now they're being excluded from our funding formula, which is very hurtful to the city of Brockton and our finances.
I agree. I concur. We've worked really hard the past couple of years with all our elected officials, including Mayor Carpenter, our city council, our school committee, our legislative delegation, Representative Cronin, Dubois, very new Jerry Cassidy, and of course our new state senator, Mike Brady. And I do have to say that when we saw the governor's budget first come out, we wait every year because we're so dependent on state funds. Mm-hmm. Just about 80% of our funding comes from the state, 20% from the city. And we await to see the inflation factor. We await to see if there's been an increase in per pupil costs coming back. And unfortunately, this year in February and March, when we saw this new formula or this figure that came from the state, two things happened. One, we were very disappointed with an extremely low inflation factor that was applied. And number two, all of a sudden this calculation that changed in this free and reduced lunch low-income calculation to this direct certified calculation, which took out about 4,500 of our previously 15,000 students that qualified.
Yeah.
And my other disappointment was, and this is now being addressed as we speak, I wish I could have talked to the senator and certainly have talked to our senator, but what has just come through is the state for 2 years, and this was under Deval Patrick going into Governor Baker, took a look at that Chapter 70 formula and said, is this supporting kids all over the Commonwealth?
Right.
And what came back were, and it didn't matter about urban, suburban, there were a lot of stressors on everybody's budget. You just mentioned Whitman Hanson.
Yep.
So in looking at those Chapter 70 Review Commission recommendations, we were hoping there were going to be changes in a number of calculations. And in fact, they clearly were ignored. You know, Governor Baker talked about being new in office and needing a chance to kind of let the dust settle and get a handle on the budget. And my feeling from what I've heard is the Senate is putting forth a resolution that they do take a look at those recommendations.
Well, it's now, from what I understood, because I've done a little bit of research on it, was is that the Department of Secondary Education was the one that was looking, that they were going around the state and discussing with folks about the funding formula. And so so are you telling me that they've looked at, have they come to a conclusion? Is anything going to be enacted, or what happens now?
They basically, you know, have the report in, but they have not acted on it yet. They basically are saying, well, what we're hearing is that, you know, they never intended to right away implement the recommendations in the report. They need a year to digest it, go through it, and then make recommendations. You know, we were naturally hoping that that was going to be sooner rather than later,
right,
especially in light of the change. What's really, I think, what's really amazing to me is the fact that we were provided no grace period, no chance, opportunity to pursue or nudge our parents that we know could qualify for state benefits to sign up for state benefits, that they basically changed the rules of the game without any warning. And, you know, again, this is really harmful to our district, to the tune of around $3 million or so, right?
At least.
Yeah.
You know, the other frustrating part when you mentioned, you know, not being given fair warning. You know, there had been talk about this throughout the country in different areas. But we have a community, too, where I looked at it today and spent quite a bit of time looking at those databases that actually show you, as Mr. Minicello said, those families that have signed up for SNAP, you know, which is your nutrition program, your food stamps, you know, Department of Transitional Assistance, MassHealth, many of these state agencies. Basically, that direct certification says, you know, we are certifying that these families indeed are low-income families. So, you know, Mr. Minicello again mentioned, you know, those families that might not sign up for these benefits, and that could be a large part of our population. Mm. The other part that's disappointing to me is the state isn't ready for direct certification. When you have a community like ours where it could be a spelling of a student's last name not connecting, that the birth date is correct to the school the child is at, and it's off, the last name is off by a letter or two. Remember, we have at least a third of our students are English language learners, and right, more than that comes from families whose language is not English the first language. So that's disappointing that it could be two letters off in a name. And this is a family that even is a direct certification, but the databases aren't ready to match up. There needed to be a little bit more work done on this, and certainly, again, as Tom said, we needed really some time to prepare and look at how we prepare our families, because in fact, those kids are sitting in front of us every day.
And some of the cultures in the city utilize their father, some of the women that I come across in my business as an attorney, in the Cape Verdean culture, they utilize their mother's maiden name, their father's name, and sometimes their married name. So you can have people with three last names, and if those don't jive with the state's records, I mean, they're going to kick it out.
Yep.
And, you know, how, you know, a person adopts which name they're going to use has an effect on this. You know, if they leave out one of the names, it when they signed up for a form when they first came, it was accidentally excluded, then the system kicks them out.
When you say that you're bringing forth a budget, where do we stand as far as the deficit? Is there still a significant budget? I've had regular talks with both of you, and the last I knew was that it's been reduced from the $10 million, but it's nowhere near closing the gap.
Well, I mean, we've come up with a balanced budget, but what we've had to do that is awful. I mean, it's devastating. I mean, we've had to cut out programs. We've had to, we're going to lose some staff this year, some high quality staff. And the problem is this, a lot of the teachers that we have to RIF or reduction in force notices,
yep.
Potentially laid off, they're really high quality, energetic people who do a great job. And unfortunately, when they get that notice, immediately they go and look for another job in another community because they certainly have their own bills and finances that they need to be concerned with. So, some of our best and brightest get picked off immediately because, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, the Brockton Public Schools and the staff in Brockton are top-notch. We, for a school district with all of the issues that we deal with, the school system is really the crown jewel of the city. You know, people...
It's been recognized repeatedly.
Yeah.
News stories have been done on national news stories.
Academically, it meets all sorts of awards. Yep. I mean, our students attend, the top-notch colleges in the Commonwealth.
You said a student that wasn't he accepted to 7 yes. Ivy League colleges?
Yes.
Yeah, we won't mention Yale. They have something wrong with them, but whatever.
He's going to be attending Harvard, it's better off.
But, we've got students that, are at the top of their game.
Yeah.
We have students who basically, come back and are telling us how successful they are performing in college, which tells us that, the grades that we give them at Brockton High and in our school system are meaningful, and they are well prepared when they leave us for, success in college.
That's what parents want, is they want their children to be prepared for the next level.
We have wonderful, certainly Brockton was always known as a great sports town. I mean, that's indisputable. But, we also... are, I would say, one of the most dominant school communities when it comes to music and the arts. We're winning all sorts of awards for our musical programs. We're winning all sorts of awards for theater and the arts. It's just a wonderful place. But the problem is, in order to offer these programs without fees, we have to cut into the budget in all sorts of different places, and it doesn't put us in a good spot, My philosophy as a school committee person is I have a simple philosophy. Try to improve from last year. Try to make the system better from last year. And when you're dealing with a $10 million budget, that's pretty much next to impossible and, rather depressing.
Would you like to weigh in on this?
I agree.
Because you were the one who put the budget forth first, correct, for them to...
I did, but the superintendent's recommended budget for this year, which really was pretty much a level services budget, saying to the school committee there might have been a few increases, but it basically was $10 million over what we had to do, hence the deficit.
Mm.
When you look at, again, the things that we have cut, we're hanging on by a thread here. I do not want to go forward, and right now we have a lot of moving pieces. We have a charter school that we're told is opening in September, and that we're going to be losing close to 300 of our middle school students. That I'm not necessarily seeing right now, but of course I have to plan for that. We have kindergarten registrations where demographically I can't go to the local hospital and look at the birth rates or talk to the realty companies as far as who is moving in. Brockton is a very different kind of community as to where people are coming from.
Mm.
So we're looking at our kindergarten numbers. So what's important to me right now is that I have class size that is manageable, meaning that teachers can work with our English language learners, our special education population, our children that come from homes sometimes where there's trauma. I mean, there are a lot of things that we're dealing with in a large urban setting, along with the average kid that comes in and expects to get an excellent education in the Brockton Public Schools. And our teachers are up for the challenge. And I echo what Mr. Minicello says. When you hire somebody, and I've looked at this, We, in time, you expect to have a teacher a good 30 years. That's well over $1 million investment in that teacher. And it starts when we do mentoring, professional development with our new teachers. And what we've done the past 3 years is we continue to cut these teachers, these very teachers that are exactly what you need each year to come into a system.
Unfortunately, we've had this same scenario for the past few years. We're riffing teachers, young teachers. So what is the message being sent to our teachers or prospective quality people thinking about coming to Brockton? It's basically, well, my opportunity is not all that stable, so maybe I need to look elsewhere. We need to have some stability to the system, and we really need to know that the funding that is necessary is going to come forward, and hopefully this Chapter 70 Review Committee will recognize what we in Brockton have known for years, and that is, there are certain issues that need to be addressed with respect to, our population, with respect to the number of kids, unfortunately, in homes that have emotional issues, that are single-parent family homes, that, our staff is providing so much more than just an education. When we all went to school, our parents pretty much read to us before. We were a little more prepared going into school. We were taught, socialization and manners at home. We brought our own lunch to school. We weren't worried about not having breakfast in the morning. I mean, we are dealing every year with more and more social issues that the schools are picking up. They're basically the stability in so many of these children's lives. And, with that comes a cost. If you're not going to invest in education, then I can assure you, in the latter years in life, you're going to be investing in the correctional system. And that's not what we want in Brockton, because we have a formula that works. We've seen that education in Brockton, the longer you're in the school system, the success rate is excellent. Our kids graduate, our kids pass MCAS at a great rate, our kids go on to higher education and, come back success stories. But in order to do so and maintain the levels we want and to have well-rounded kids, kids that are involved after school with good programs and things to do, not the streets, we need to invest. And when you're looking at every year, a $5 to $10 million deficit, you get to the point where it's impossible to, meet these standards, these obligations, and, it's a challenge.
Again, we're speaking with the voice you just heard was Tom Minicello. He's the vice chair. He's the Ward 1 School Committee in Brockton, and School Superintendent Kathleen Smith here, and we're chatting about what's going on with the city of Brockton and what they've been dealing with this year. I want to kind of talk about something that took place 23 years ago, ed reform. And I know last year, sitting in the city council chambers, I wanted to say that there was a conversation that you, Kathy, had with the city council in regards to looking at a possible equity lawsuit. Haven't heard much about it. I don't know if it's something that is still on the table or something that the city or the public school district is looking at. Is that something that's still pliable?
Well, it definitely is. I mean, it's something that we continue to discuss. We have sought legal counsel. We hope to bring our legal counsel before our school committee and our city council. One of the things you have to look at, if you go back to 1993, and you do talk about the McDuffie case coming out of Brockton, Jamie McDuffie was a student in the Brockton Public Schools. She's now a teacher in the Brockton Public Schools.
That's
all
fascinating.
All these years later. So my point is, at the time, the state was meeting no obligation for supporting education. Mm. And, of course, before they even decided the case, ed reform came in and was certainly a plus to communities like Brockton and to communities all over the state. So what we're looking at right now is a little bit of a hurdle. The state is supporting education, but is it supporting it to a level that is equity in education for every student? And I think the question, again, when you look at it, is that the state does have a certain obligation for the children that grow up in Easton and Weston and the children that grow up in Brockton. And if you're finding that even this direct certification is alienating a particular group of students because they are undocumented. They aren't able to sign up for these, you know, programs sponsored by the state in order for additional money to come with them. You know, that could be exactly the kind of thing that we're looking at this point when we're talking about equity for every youngster. And truly, Kevin, the other thing that I feel the state has handed us is right now MCAS 2.0 is going to be the new high-stakes testing coming in 2019. And it's all online. And when I talk to many of my counterparts in the South Shore superintendents, they are talking about, you know, many devices in the schools. They're looking at a lot of technology, and they're doing a really good job increasing technology in their schools, and a lot with support from those towns. And that's a great thing to do for the kids in those communities. Mm. But when you look at Brockton, those are some of, because we're trying to keep a teacher in the classroom, and not a teacher with 20 youngsters, a teacher with 25 and 30 youngsters. A lack of technology. We're able to buy some technology, but I should have a device in every student's hands from the time they're in kindergarten until the time they take that high-stakes testing and beyond.
And unfortunately, that technology budget is year after year after year a place where we steal money, basically robbing Peter to pay Paul to try and, you know, hire more teachers. Well, I'm sorry, not hire more, but maintain what we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're taking from that budget. So, you know, when the state basically sets the new bar and says, well, you're going to have to test, you know, online, you're going to have to test with technology, use computers. That's great to say, but okay, so how are we going to pay for it? How are we going to put those computers in the hands of every person? And let's not forget that just because a kid has a computer in front of them, if they don't have proper training, they don't have a staff person who is, you know, when I went to high school, you know, we had word processing. I had, you know, a typewriter and a gentleman by the name of Mr. Tingblatt who basically trained us on how to type properly. Well, you know, we're going to need staff. You know, just because you give the kid a computer doesn't mean that he's going to be able to,
right,
in a timely fashion, answer the questions and have continuity and a clear mind, because, you know, if they're grappling with how to use the technology in addition to trying to figure out the answer to the question, you know, it's going to be problematic. So you're also going to need support in order to maintain and have a technology support staff that can, you know, fix, maintain, and operate on these computers to make sure they're up to snuff and they're working properly. So you're talking, again, an investment in bodies, an investment in personnel, as well as an investment in technology. And, you know, right now it's pretty much impossible for us to even think about having a one-to-one device, but that's what we all want. I mean, you know, with all these different issues, our gen ed students, our gen ed parents, you know, are looking to what other communities have and saying, well, why not for my kid? You know, right. What I mean? What's going on here, you know?
It's definitely not easy. Let's quickly talk about, we have a couple of minutes left here, how the campaign is going, the Brockton Kids Count campaign. How has that been going?
Well, you know, I think it was kind of a pleasant surprise to us in Brockton. One of the things we talked about early was, you know, people were discounting that parents would get involved and, you know,
see signs and bumper stickers everywhere.
And let our elected officials know from the governor on down what they want for their children in education in Brockton. And we saw parents coming out. I saw grandparents coming out. It was something that we could truly all unite on. And it isn't just about this budget. It was very, very helpful to have, you know, families and kids and posting. I loved my favorite was the 20, 30 kids going to the prom, beautiful night, standing outside, and every one of them held a letter that said, Brockton Kids Count. So it isn't just the little kid that gets excited about being involved with a special T-shirt or feeling proud about themselves, sure, as they should. It was about the older kids understanding what the adults in their community are doing to try to give them that education that they so deserve. But I do have to say, it isn't just about a one-time budget.
No.
We will make sure that we continue to educate our parents, not only about the budget process, about what they want to see for their students, what they want to retain in the Brockton Public Schools, what kind of facilities do we want to send our students to, what kind of devices do we want to have, digital literacy for all students, college, career. All of these things will be discussions we'll have with our parents and our community going forward. They are truly our partners, and that, to me, it's always been one of my strategic plan goals, you know, the community partnerships. But this is going to be a priority going forward.
Like the superintendent said earlier, we've had tremendous support from, you know, certainly our mayor, our city council, our state delegation. You know, they're all on board. They are all supportive. But what this was a what this I think accomplished was it sent a message to Beacon Hill that, you know, something's wrong in Brockton with what happened to their budget, and you know, there is some effort on Beacon Hill to try to rectify it. But you know we need it rectified, you know, in a monumental way. We'll see, you know, what the practical, you know, adjustment is going to be. It's probably not going to be where we need it to be, but you know, it certainly has reached, you know, the steps of Beacon Hill and the governor's office. They know that Brockton isn't sitting back idly, because we never do. I mean, you know, Brocktonians are very vocal when it comes to their school system. It's something, you know, people said to us, why are people so uptight, or why are people so critical of this charter school coming in? Because the answer is simple, because we get it done in Brockton. You know, if Brockton were not getting it done at that level, the city of Brockton, the parents, would be demanding an alternative. We had the parents saying, we don't need it. There's no need for it. You know, you're not offering us anything new. You know, our students, as you saw, you know, are going to Ivy League schools, are going to all top-notch schools. You put in the effort. We have, you know, we have the formula that works. So, I mean, there is no need for it. And it basically is sort of an attack on our community, meaning that you're coming in here saying that we're defective in some way when we know we're not. So it definitely, you know, our campaign reached the steps of Beacon Hill and you know, I think made them aware that there needs to be an adjustment. And hopefully that Chapter 70 review report will, you know, bear some fruit that will really benefit the kids of Brockton.
Just to remind folks, when does the school committee, and I'm sure you're going to speak, Superintendent, when do you guys go before the city council to kind of talk about your budget? That's like June, isn't it?
I've been told it's June 5th, 6th, 7th in there. There'll be two or three nights. What happens when we come in, it's usually a good couple of hours, lots of questions, and I like that. You know, we have a very engaged electorate, and, you know, that's exactly what we want, is that dialogue. Our city council understands pretty much down to the nitty-gritty what the school committee is dealing with and what it's going to take for us to put forth the educational system they want.
And they're all very supportive of the school.
They're supportive, but here's the problem, is that...
I'm just going to say it.
I can understand asking all the questions, but as the form of government that the city of Brockton has, they can ask all the questions and give all the sympathy, but they do not have the power to put any money back into your budget.
Well, they have.
They can cut it.
But they also have the power to say to the mayor, "You have not.
I know
you have not reached what we feel is adequate. So go back and come back to us." But, like I said, this time around, the mayor has met Foundation.
He stepped up the Foundation, right.
So, and, you know, on the city side, they are also facing a deficit of, I believe, around $6 million on their end. So,
it'll be interesting.
So, yeah, so, you know, not only is the mayor facing a deficit on that side, but he's, you know, sending over to our side, you know, a favorable amount. Again, not an amount that we need, but, you know, from his point of view, you know, he's doing the best that he can.
You filed it under something is better than nothing, right?
Well, we'll take what we can take, you know.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in this evening. Hopefully we'll hear good news in a couple of weeks. Better news anyways in regards to how things are going up on Beacon Hill, as you heard from Patrick O'Connor, a new state senator, that he's pushing to up that per pupil for this year. We'll see what ends up happening. But I want to thank you both for coming in, and you know, this isn't the last time you guys will be back. And as you may or may not know, earlier today we were actually simulcasting between here and 1460 AM in Brockton. So good times.
That's great.
Good times are ahead. So,
well, thank you.
You got it. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WBEZ.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.